You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4.
Now, as I mentioned yesterday, we're getting closer to the day when we reveal who's made it onto the Woman's Hour Power List. We've been looking for the 100 most powerful women in Britain, and you can hear the list next Tuesday in a special programme in front of an audience at the Radio Theatre of London's Broadcasting House. Over the past couple of months, Eve Pollard and her team of judges, Priti Patel MP, Val McDermid, Dawn O'Porter, Baroness Una King and the former Woman's Hour editor Jill Burridge have been making their decisions, and today we bring you the second selection of their deliberations as they debated the relative influence of some of the women you nominated. We join the panel as they discuss women who influence our cultural life. Again, Dawn O'Porter joined the meeting early in the morning from Los Angeles.
I think people who are in a position to feed the public's mind with information, art, and change perception are people who are powerful. Those are the people who reach me. On my list, I have Tamsin Dillon, who's head of art on the Underground. For me, she really shone through. Now, we had a lot of directors of art galleries nominated, but the reason that she spoke to me was anyone can be on the tube, but a smaller group of people choose to go to an art gallery.
And what about role models? I mean, for example, you put someone on your list who I also admire very much, Caitlin Moran.
Yes.
You feel she gets the zeitgeist.
The thing is about Caitlin is whether you agree with her brand of feminism or not, she opened an enormous conversation when she brought out her book, How to Be a Woman. She got younger women talking about feminism and took a lot of the nervousness out of saying, I am a feminist. I think she's really important. Now, I know that Twitter isn't the center of the universe, but she opens up debates and conversations all the time on there. If she likes something and makes that public in one of her columns or on Twitter, then people start at least talking about it. Yeah. And that power, she gets people talking. I really do feel the same way about Adele. And the thing is, when someone is an international pop star, they have the power to say something politically, something about fashion, something about all sorts of things. And their reach and the amount of people that hear their comment is so enormous. And that's why someone like Adele, not only is she brilliant and hugely admired, but she has the power to make people think.
Dawn mentioned Caitlin Moran, a woman I truly admire. She's not, I think, on anybody else's list. Is that because we think that's soft power? That she has changed the view of feminism, but it's just in the ether rather than actual alteration of life.
I think she's been a huge contributor and highly influential. Yeah. She writes with passion and she's very enthusiastic and she's witty. And she, I think, rings bells for a heck of a lot of women. No doubt, highly influential, but I would question... and I didn't put her on my power list, what real power journalists actually have.
Yeah, I found as I was going through the list that I became more capable of kind of polarising, if you like, between influence and power. And it does seem to me that women like Adele and Caitlin Moran do have huge influence. They shape the conversation. But I think you have to draw a line there between influence and transformation. I think, for example, Caroline Duffy's work does have that transformational power because we use that in the classrooms.
Yeah.
We use it as a way of bringing young people to language, to the kind of world of the mind, if you like, they don't come to in another way.
I completely agree with Val on that point. I mean, there is a role for cultural and soft power. There's no doubt about that. But I think that's very subjective. That is down to the individual. And I think, you know, you can't demonstrate, how can you aggregate that across the board to say that it's actually making a seismic or significant difference or is influencing behaviour change in a mass way as well in the long run.
And does that apply to someone like Tamsin Dillon who chooses free art to go on the tube?
I found that one a more difficult one, I must say. She stayed on my...
The interesting thing we've also been doing is looking at this snapshot of women right now. For example, we've had many women in the publishing world who 2 years ago would have been a shoo-in, but the publishing world is changing?
Well, publishing, of course, is the milieu in which I operate, so I do have, a sense of what's going on in that world. And while there are undoubtedly women who wield great power within the publishing houses, like Gail Rebuck, like Victoria Barnsley, I was interested in a position of someone like Ursula McKenzie, who's the CEO at Little Brown, and she also this year happens to be the chair of the Publishers Association. Now, at the moment, with the move to digital publishing, the explosion of e-books, there's great debates going on about copyright, about the relationship between publishers and authors, about the relationship between agents and publishers, booksellers. All of these things are crucial discussions that are going on with legislatures as well in Brussels and at Westminster. And I think this particular year, the person who is chair of the Publishers Association has more power and influence than just the role within a publishing house. So I think that's important.
Yes, yes. You left Gail Rebuck on your list.
I did leave Gail Rebuck on my list because now with the merger with Penguin, it's this huge conglomerate, so a quarter of the publishing of the Western world. So you can't ignore that.
No.
And Gail Rebuck is somebody who has always been a powerful advocate behind the scenes, often for publishing generally.
Yes, she has.
I think this year is going to be really interesting for publishing. Full stop. Partly because Val's.
Can I just add?
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the list, because we've got the sort of everybody's nominations out for their top 100, I took J.K. Rowling off my list in the end. It's probably a heinous crime, the rest of you would say.
No, I took her off.
You took her off.
End, only because I think she's changed.
It was such a difficult.
No, she has made little boys read, which
yes.
I think is seismic.
Right.
It's seismic. But that was then.
Yeah.
And here we are in 2013.
I kept her on my list because she, you know, when your book came out this last year, it was the one thing that every single newspaper, every single magazine was talking about. It was on all.
Not
the,
always no, nicely.
No, not always nicely, but that's not, your power doesn't
no,
always but
that's
nice.
True.
And I think the reason, one of the reasons also that she's important is that she's a very rich woman and she does have a very strong input into philanthropy in this country, and that's one of those things where we don't see power, but that can really make a difference.
And I think one of the most interesting things is differentiating between amazing women and powerful women, because they're not necessarily one and the same thing. They can be, and that's what a lot of our conversation has been about. How do you distinguish between those two things? Also, I think it's about topicality. Someone might have been incredibly influential even last year, for instance, with the Olympics, but does that mean they make the list in February 2013? Some love has gone, it's over. And so it's about picking up who right now, this minute, is a mover and shaker.
Baroness Una King finishing today's selection of Deliberations.
You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4.